Now let's stay in the US, where there have been pro-Palestinian protests at university campuses across the country. And as our correspondent Todd Zwillick reports, Columbia University is taking disciplinary action against students taking part in those protests.
The school administrators, after days of negotiations, Lisa, that school president said had unfortunately come to no conclusion with the protesters today, announced earlier in the morning here on Monday, our time here on the East Coast, that if students didn't move off the quad at the center of Columbia University in New York City, that they would be suspended by 2 o'clock. That was the deadline. And suspension in this case meant deactivation of their student IDs, inability to finish the semester in good standing, which includes for graduating seniors that they wouldn't be able to graduate on time, that other students wouldn't be able to complete the semester as they had intended, in addition to other sanctions as well. And by that time, some students had apparently moved off and joined sort of a human circle, a human barrier of people around the encampment. Many others had not moved off, and the university began suspending them as promised shortly after 3 p.m. today. We're not sure quite yet how many students have been suspended. It's kind of going on a rolling basis. There have also been arrests at Columbia, not as many as at some other universities. You know, it's interesting that different schools in different jurisdictions with different governors in different cultures, frankly, have taken a different approach to the protesters. There have been arrests at Columbia, which is the most visible of all the protests. There's a long tradition of protest at Columbia, and there are also now lawsuits from different groups of students, including Jewish students at Columbia, who are suing, saying the school has failed to protect their safety, and Arab and Palestinian students as well, with suits alleging much the same thing under different circumstances.
Sticking with the general theme of politics, Kristi Noem is the front runner to be Trump's running mate, you know, vice presidential candidate. Now, has admitted in her book to killing a dog, and she seems to have doubled down on her actions. Tell us more.
I know you all have heard about this story. She wrote it in her book that Cricket, a wire-haired pointer, was just a lousy hunter, 14 months old. You've heard the story of how she took it to a gravel pit and shot it. This caused outrage all across America. We love our dogs in this country. Thousands and thousands of people on social media posting pictures of their dogs. Well, she has doubled down in a statement today, basically saying that she's the type of person who knows how to make the tough decisions, and that it was perfectly legal what she did under South Dakota law because the dog had attacked some livestock, and that she just wants people to know that in life you have to make hard decisions that can be difficult and painful, and she's always been willing to do that. And a lot of the reaction has been, Governor, nobody was worried that it was illegal. They were worried that it was cruel and quite disgusting. So she's doubled down. I think she's hoping that her toughness and refusing to back down, refusing to apologize, will impress Donald Trump, and we'll have to see how that goes.
So she's turning it into a selling point. Very interesting. Okay, I'm super interested in this next one, Todd, because we've previously spoken about the massive Powerball jackpot ballooned since then to $1.3 billion. It was drawn earlier this month. I feel like we need a drum roll. Have you got some good news, Todd? What can you tell us?
You love the Powerball, Lisa. I know you, and I won't let you down. Charlie Sapon is a resident of Portland, Oregon. He's an immigrant from Laos. He's lived in the United States since 1994. Unfortunately, he has cancer, and he just won $1.3 billion along with his wife and a friend who contributed $100 to tickets. So Charlie and his wife are splitting the winnings with their friend who contributed to tickets. They've taken the lump sum. Do you want to guess after taxes how much he's taking home?
I reckon that they'll lose half of it in tax.
Yeah, in fact, and don't forget they're sharing it with friends. But look, they're just going to have to get by on $422 million, which is the check he's just got. So Charlie Sapon, congratulations to him. And I know you love the Powerball tickets. We're going to have to wait a few weeks for the jackpot to build back up so we can talk about it again.
I feel good that Charlie's won. I can live with that, Todd.
Yeah, most America. I mean, people love it. It's all over the news tonight. It's a feel-good story, and he looks like a feel-good guy. Big grin on his face, holding up that big check. It's a shame that he's sick. We hope he gets better. But he's got some good news.
We need to get a checkpoint ticket. I've got high expectations in the future. Could I take it offshore if I won, Todd? You need to find this out for me.
Who cares? You wire me the $5. I get you the tickets. We've got a deal. No one will ever know it's you.